Right, so we are now recording this session. This is week three. This is the only session that we're gonna do live, like we are doing right now. All our sessions, as you guys know, you'll receive them as recordings every week. But this one, because we're looking at your emails, because we're looking at your input, we're doing this one live. So for this week, week three, I only received two emails from the group. I only received two. I was hoping to receive more, but I don't want anybody to feel bad. I mean, if you haven't sent this, it's okay. This is not school. We're not going to guilt trip you and make you feel bad about that. But I want to encourage you still, if you haven't written your email, I'd like you to continue to write that email and still send it. Even after today, but please send it through, because when we do our Q&A later this week, I would want to look at some of these. So if you haven't sent it, don't feel bad. But thankfully, Lynn has sent us and Hendrina has sent us. So we'll look at those right now. If anything else comes up while we're doing that, fine. If we still have time, we'll look at that too. All right. Okay. So I'll start with Lynn's one. She sent it to me last week, Thursday. And I missed it, I must admit. I saw her email, but the email the subject line was about the one sentence business plan, and I actually didn't check all the attachments, which is something I must always remember to do. So I apologize about that, but this is not gonna impact what we're trying to do in any negative way. We're gonna go through this this letter or this attachment that Lynn sent, and we're going to unpack it and break it down and give some useful feedback on it, so that she can go back and work on it if there's a need to do so. And then we're going to look at it again until she's happy, I'm also happy, and then we get it out there and see what happens. All right, Lynn, welcome. I see your mic is also on there.
Yep.
Thank you. Brilliant. Great. So the way you wrote yours, it actually makes it easy for what we're trying to do today. Because what you did, you followed the partnership thinking plan. You didn't actually write, this is not a complete kind of email in the sense. It's basically the whole, you followed the process, the steps basically that I covered through the partnership thinking plan, which really, really helps, because it gives us all the ingredients we need to put together an email. Am I correct in my assessment of how you wrote it?
Just in case
I missed something. Yes.
I thought that this partnership plan, thinking plan, eventually culminates in a pitch. So the pitch was very scant. It didn't have a whole lot of information in it. So obviously I need your guidance in that regard.
Brilliant. Now I'm happy with this. So let's jump right in. So we're going to follow these steps. I really like this because it really helps. It's a nice way to introduce us to what we're trying to do today. So the partnership thinking plan, if you guys remember, it's got six steps. The first step is the goal. Second step, resources. Third step, partner. Number four, research. Number five, approach. Number six, pitch. So let's start with the goal. The question you're trying to answer with the first one, the goal is, what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? So let me read what Lynn has put together here. Her response is, the pitch, I was not going to name the name of the company, but I think I have any fear that, because it's only us in the group and your idea is uniquely yours. So I was not gonna name the name of the bank, I was just gonna say a bank. But because your pitch, if I may call it that, is very specific to what that bank offers, I think if you're okay, Lynn, let's openly just talk about the name of the bank. Is that cool?
No worries at all.
Okay, perfect, all right. So, okay, so the goal here is to assist Worldwide Life Fund, WWF, NetBank Green Trust, to amplify their impact in the NetBank Affinity Program, in brackets, you say environment conservation, And then the next thing is arts affinity and children's affinity programs by adding the EcoConnect, an incubation program that seeks to develop 20 eco-entrepreneurs across the country. Just explain that part for me. The goal is to assist the WWF NetBank Green Trust. It's what is that? Is that a NetBank, and is that a NetBank nonprofit effort, or is that it's their nonprofit effort?
So if I can just quickly explain it a bit, Sia.
Please.
NetBank, over I don't know how many years, has contributed close on to half a billion rand to support environmental conservation, arts affinity, and children's affinity programs. So that's a foundation between NetBank and World Wildlife Fund for Nature, where that money is channeled to World Wildlife Fund for Nature to work in the areas that I've just mentioned. What I'm offering is for them to include a program that seeks to develop eco-entrepreneurs, as that is aligned with their core mission.
Okay, that sounds good. And since we are on this topic, when you say eco-entrepreneurs, give me an example.
So it would be, for example, who was the lady who was wanting to start the agricultural project in Drina. It's it's a car wash that uses recycled water. Uh-huh. It's a barber that uses a solar panel on their roof. It's about cooking with energy that reduces carbon emissions into the environment. You know, running electric motor.
Get it.
A courier company using electric motor vehicles, those kinds of things.
This is brilliant. I like it already. I wish I was NetBank so that I can just sign the check.
Can you take it to them, please?
Let's see how we can do that, because I really like it. I think it makes a lot of sense, and it ticks all the right boxes already, because we are talking at businesses and their bank. Not only, this is not basically them just putting out money, because when these businesses grow, they become, it comes back to NetBank because they become clients and all that kind of stuff. So it actually makes a lot of sense. Okay, brilliant. Thanks for explaining that to us. Then the next question is resources. What resources do you need to accomplish your goal that a partner can help you with? So let's look at your response. You're saying NetBank can assist by funding the development of 20 eco-entrepreneurs to set up / convert their eco-enterprises, which is what you basically just told us. So we know what we want from them. They already have this money. They already have this funds that they put aside to support the environment and sustainability. So all we're asking is a little bit of that to be channeled in this direction. Again, makes a lot of sense. So number three, partner, who would be an ideal partner and why? We already answered that one, but let me read what you've got. Yeah. NetBank Green Trust is the ideal partner who could expand their current programs to include development of eco-entrepreneurs to amplify the impact of their existing programs, particularly post COVID-19. Makes sense. Totally. 100% makes sense. Number four, research. What is the context of your approach? Have you done your research? Do you have the right contact person? I'm not going to name the name of the person. You already have that person here, so I won't name the name. But let me read everything else that you wrote. NetBank Green Trust has already made significant impact in the areas of environmental conservation.
Sorry,
Lynn.
That was a typo on my side.
I figured that. Yes. These two words are very close. So, environmental conservation, art development, and upliftment of youth and children. Augmenting an eco-entrepreneurship development program will assist to create further impact to environmental conservation and development of youth. This makes so much sense. As this is a partnership between NetBank and WWF, parties from both organizations will be approached. Oh, okay. So this is brilliant. So it makes sense. Again, I'm just nodding basically with everything that you're saying here. So we've got the contact person from WWF. We've got the contact person from NetBank. Brilliant. Okay, great. Let's move right on. Approach. So what does this say in the partnership thinking plan? Decide on the best medium of contact. Have contact details at hand. You will use these to reach out when ready. Be prepared to engage on other communication media. Okay, so approach. Here we are. I will prepare a pitch and forward it directly to each of the two persons identified in the research. So we've got the name. Decide on the best medium of contact. I assume this will be an email. Is that correct, Lynn? You'll email. Yes,
I gather so.
And you've got the contact details, as I've already said. You will use these the contact details to reach out when ready. So as soon as the letter is ready, we will send it to these people. Be prepared to engage on other communication media. What I meant here was that if, let's say, you send an email and you don't get a response, be prepared to follow up by, let's say, picking up the phone, you know, just to check if they received the email. And if you've got a contact, let's say you are connected with them on LinkedIn, be prepared to also just send them a note on LinkedIn. Say, hey, I sent you an email on this day. I'd really, really love to hear your take on that. So that's what I mean on the partnership thinking plan, where I say, be prepared to engage on other communication media. In other cases, over and above email, sometimes, in some cases, we don't have somebody's email address, but we can reach them via LinkedIn. I also encourage that, send them a LinkedIn. Obviously, my first choice is always email, but if we don't have their details, send them a LinkedIn message. Or if you don't have that either, but you really, really want to send them an email, pick up the phone and actually call and tell them that there's something you want to send them and you would like to get their email address. 9 out of 10 times, particularly people who are very senior, who have got PAs, if you speak to their PA and they'll want to know what's this about. And then you kind of explain that you've got an idea around this, but you don't want to reveal everything on the phone. You'd rather just email it so that they can read it and digest it. Most PAs will be more than happy. If they don't give you the person's email address, they'll actually give you their own email. They'll say, send it to me and then I'll forward it to the executive or the CEO. So these days it's really not that difficult to get to people because they are open, as I always say. People are open to ideas that support what they're trying to do. As long as we remember that, we will be fine. Great. I just thought I'd talk a little bit about that. So let's continue with your...
Ask you a question. So the one lady from WWF is actually... Yes. In fact, my sister reports into her.
Wow, okay.
I don't know her. My sister is not very open to connecting people. Some people are just like that, and I need to respect that. That's a bit of a challenge for me, in terms of how to advance this conversation with them.
Get you. Do you, do you use the same surname as your sister?
No, we both married.
I mean, if your sister was, obviously, if she was open to giving you, let's say, to connecting you with this person, we would go that route. But if she is not open to doing that, you have every right. You have every right to do business. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. So I would say, does she know that you have any intentions of reaching out to this lady?
No, she doesn't. And maybe I think my approach would be to speak to her about it first.
I think this one is really up to you. I think if you would feel comfortable and if you feel it may cause some discomfort later, maybe then do talk to her about your intentions. And I mean, again, up to you. If you'll be telling her to inform her of what you want to do, and also maybe tell her that the reason you're not asking her is because you'd rather it just be you reaching out without involving her, you know, because it's a boss. Sometimes people don't want, you know, somebody to, they've got that line of respect between them and their boss. And then when their family members get involved, because they know too much about you because it's family, right? They're like, oh, I don't want you to, you know, so, but maybe if you feel we want to talk to her, talk to her. If you don't want to, if you don't want to, look, you've got a right to do business.
Yeah.
You can, because you are doing this on behalf of your company. You you are a director of your company, which means you've got a right to reach out to any director of any company without getting your sister's permission. It's just business.
Yes, you know, so, she has helped me in the past, and maybe I'm being a bit too harsh. I'll I'll have a conversation with her. So, see, no. The other question is, so now WWF manages the fund, but Nedbank provides the funding to WWF.
Sure.
What would you, and remember, Nedbank has also got somewhat of a responsibility around enterprise development.
Yeah.
So what would you say, would it be, what would the best approach be to first speak with Nedbank or first speak with WWF?
I would speak to both of them and tell them that I'm talking to the other. Basically, in the email, I would say, I'm also communicating. Remember, at this stage, we're just sharing an idea.
Yeah.
We're not asking for anything. We're not reaching, this is not an application. This is just an idea. Hey guys, since you're already doing this, here's an idea. That's basically what you're doing, yeah. So you are just opening up a conversation. You're saying, can we just talk about it? You know, there's really no harm in that. They've got every right to say no, but your part is to say, here's an idea, can we talk about it? And because it involves the other party, I'm also sharing the same with them, you know. And when you do that, I mean, it always depends, but I find that when you tell somebody that I'm also talking to the other side, it depends again. It's hard to talk about what people do or what they would do. But in some, I find that in most cases, people become more open. So, oh, okay. Oh, so-and-so has also been informed about this. Okay, let's hear you then. Why don't the three of us get together and hear you out?
Yeah, so when I was doing research, I found out that the lady from WWF talks about the need for entrepreneurship development in the country, particularly post-COVID-19.
Brilliant, brilliant. We're going to need that information.
Yes, remember I told you I wrote a proposal. So
yes.
I've got that somewhere in the proposal where I quote what she had said.
Brilliant. If you don't mind, Lynn, can you send me that proposal?
I will. I was just waiting for your feedback from this document, and then I will.
Great. Because from here, one thing we're not going to do now is write this email. But what I'm going to do on my side, what I would like you to do, and what I'll also do on my side, is that from here, let's actually write the email. You do a draft the way you would write an email.
I've actually done that in the section called pitch.
That's where we are going next. Oh, okay, cool. All right, you've covered all the bases here.
I need to get this businessman.
Nah, yeah, okay, cool. We're gonna get into that section like right now. Okay, cool. Okay, look, then let's continue. But I'd love to see that proposal because I think there may be things there we can pull out and put in the outreach email. And yeah, see what happens.
Okay.
Can I continue on this one?
No, please.
Okay, cool. So approach, I'll prepare a pitch and forward it directly to each of the two persons identified in the research. You are literally taking words out right out of my mouth there, like what we just said now. So yes, I agree with this, that you send it to these two people. So yes, you send it to them and you just inform them within the email that you don't send them one email and copy the other, because some of it might be, you might need to customize it for that person. Like this part about their support for entrepreneurship and whatever, that part, we will include that quote in the email to the person, to WWF, because it's specific to her. That's part of the context for reaching out to her. For NetBank, we will have their own context. So their email will be, will start slightly differently, but the bulk of it, the concept will be the same. So that will be the only thing that might change. Right. Now, and now we go to where it says, amplify NetBank's community impact. Is this now, this is now where the pitch starts, is that correct?
No, it starts, yes, that's the heading,
Okay, brilliant, okay, cool, yeah. All right, so we get to the next stage of the thinking plan, pitch. Draft your pitch and prepare to engage. Okay, cool, so here it is. Let me read it out so that we've got it on record and you guys can also hear it. All right, so the heading of the pitch, whether that will be the subject line, it might be the subject line, we may decide to change it, but the point is this is the heading of the pitch. Amplify NetBank's community impact. Great. EcoConnect is a business incubation program that seeks to create awareness of and development of eco-entrepreneurs to set up, activate, and grow enterprises with a minimal environmental impact and no environmental degradation. So that's paragraph one. Then we go to paragraph two. I've successfully implemented EcoConnect program in communities of Khalishiwe, Hanover Park, Bredasdorp, Mitchell's Plain, and Saldanha Bay that continue to reduce carbon emissions, divert waste from landfill, conserve environmental resources, and provide innovative solutions to continue to amplify their impact. Some examples of businesses are waterless car wash, eco bakeries, water efficient laundries, waste management, electronic recycling, furniture refurbishing, and many more. The year-long program focuses on developing the entrepreneur with skills required to be a business leader, and it equips them with business development skills. All right. Okay, so that would be that's paragraph two. And then we go to paragraph three. Then it says some of the benefits, and we've got eight bullets here. So bullet number one is some of the benefits. It entrenches NetBank brand into grassroots. Entrenches NetBank brand into grassroots communities through branding opportunities at the training venues. Two, this provides NetBank with a competitive advantage over the competition, developing eco-entrepreneurs. Three, augments NetBank Green Trust with a program that is relevant with significant societal benefits. Four, creates a cohort of new clients for NetBank for transactional banking, lending, and insurance products. Five, enhances NetBank's already strong brand through an association with a program that promotes eco-entrepreneurs. Six, NetBank can promote products for SMMEs directly to the participants in the program. Seven, contributes NetBank's BBBEE score through enterprise and supply development. Eight, I will source eligible participants for the program based on NetBank's preferences. And then that's the end of the bullets. Whoa, Lynn, this is so cool. So those are the eight bullets. And then it continues. The next paragraph, investment of 1.2 million rand will result in a payback of 2.89 years. Beyond this point, NetBank stands to increase revenue by 414K on banking fees and the sale of other products. Lending or insurance will generate additional revenue. Then the next small paragraph, this is an investment that will have a payback by year four, and it will enhance the NetBank brand, particularly in grassroots communities. And then lastly, please apply your mind to this idea, and your response either way will be greatly appreciated. Whoa, this is brilliant. This is really good.
Thank you.
This is brilliant, Lynn. But now, Let me then unpack it and just do some kind of analysis as to why I'm saying it's brilliant, instead of just saying it's brilliant and not saying why. Let me say why. So, EcoPilot is a business incubator. So you started this by talking about your company. At this stage, nobody, if this is an email, they don't know yet what EcoConnect is. So I would start by introducing myself. I'm Lynn. I'm the founder of EcoConnect. Sometimes I don't take that approach where I start by introducing myself and the company. I start by focusing on the big idea. If you look at my JSE letter, when you get a chance, go back to my JSE email and see how I started there, where I said, imagine if there was a book like this. So I literally just went for the big idea. What's the benefit for them? And you know what I like about your email is that there's so many of these that we could literally just juxtapose. I think that's the word. I think we can just juxtapose the paragraphs where we start with to grab them from the get-go with a big idea so that they're like, whoa, this sounds interesting. Let me read on. What's this about? So we may just do a bit of a tweak at the start, but everything else, 100%. You are giving them more than actually they need at this stage of the letter, but you're doing that without compromising yourself, if that makes sense. Everything you listed here is so good, and everything you listed here is so good. It continues to add value, and it's not something they can steal and do without you. It only makes sense to partner with you if they like these ideas. Like, it's easier for them if they just say, Lynn, we want to work with you on this, than to just steal an idea and want to do it themselves. So the part about EcoConnect and what you do, that's important because it says, it answers the who are you question. And then the examples of all the things you've done, again, it says, we're not coming to you guys to ask you to support us with just an idea. We've been doing this. I think, and that's very important. You know, when partners see that, because one of the worries that partners have is always, can you execute? Well, if we give you money, is there any track record of execution that you have? You know, they tend to be a bit nervous when someone has never done what they want to do, or if they've never done anything like it, or if they just don't have any experience in anything. Let's say they're 16 years old and they've never really started a business. You've got everything. Okay. So, and you're putting all these great examples here. And then you went for the benefits, you know, that you're not asking, this is not a charity, you're not just coming here to ask them to do stuff for you. There are all these benefits that makes it really good. And then you went for the investment. Of course, I've got questions around this part of, you know, I probably wouldn't even, this is the part that I may consider not including in this email, the part about how much you need, because what you want right now is basically the meeting where the idea can be unpacked and then they on their side. But I know that we still have to cover that in the program. So based on the fact that I already know what's coming up in the program and what I recommend. So this paragraph where it says investment of 1.2 million rand will result, I would not include it for a number of reasons. One being that this could be bigger than 1.2 million rand. So I would want to just hold back a little bit for that, because they may say, whoa, we like the idea. Can we put 10 million rand behind it? Can we put 20? If we gave you 20 million rand, what would you do? So you don't want to, and sometimes when monies are involved, we may think, we may have this thought that I don't want to ask for too much money. But on their side, they say, we're worried this amount is too little. What they're asking for is too little. And from their experience, people who ask for too little money, they tend to run out of money and not deliver what they promised. So I wouldn't include it for those two reasons. Another reason would be, it's just too early. For now, when people hear money, they tend to get too attached to the number than when they hear value first. So right now, based on all the value that you've added with everything else you said, let's let their brains stay there. Let's let their brains simmer the whole value that they'll get. Okay. If you guys notice, just think about how our relationship started. And I mean that all of you guys. Think about how our relationship started. From not knowing who I was to hearing an idea, because I came to you guys through an idea. I said, hey guys, do you want me to tell you about how I built my businesses over the last 15 years by, you know, using corporate partnerships and sponsorships as my main strategy? I grabbed you with an idea. You're like, this sounds interesting. And then I invited you to my Zoom session. Some of you were able to attend, some of you couldn't attend, but the idea was still interesting. And then we got on the phone, we spoke about the idea, and now you were excited about it. The more you heard about this idea, the more exciting it became for you. All this time, you don't know what this is, what investment this is gonna be if I work with you. I didn't talk about money. I built the value. And then by the time we got to money, I said, well, you know what? This idea is probably worth a lot because it has made me millions and I could be charging. How do I even price it, right? I should be charging hundreds of thousands of rands for this. And in some way, you know, if I said that to you, you probably thought, I can see why that could be, because it sounds like a great idea. And then right at the end, after the value was built, I said, well, actually, I've got an easier way to get in. Currently, I've got this program. I'm pricing it at 30 grand. This is how I got to this price. But I don't want you to pay 30 grand. I want you to come in at a relatively lower amount. And then we ended up agreeing on the amount that you would pay. But it became, by that time, value was so huge compared to the amount of money you had to pay. So I want us to do the same thing with this, where we don't talk about money. 1.2 million rand in the bigger scheme of their fund for this, for these types of programs is nothing. It's really small. But for a number of reasons, which some of which I've already highlighted, let's just leave that part out. Let's stick with the value, because you want them to bring you to the meeting to say, Lynn, these ideas are really interesting. Tell us more, so that conversation goes. And then, but you'll see this on week three now, week four and week five and six, I'll be going into what goes on in the meeting. But of course, if the meeting happens before we get to week six, I will open this for you, all of you guys, any one of you in the previous group, by week three, when we did these letters, somebody jumped in and they got a meeting set up immediately just by following this letter, such that I had to send them week five and six while everybody else was still on week four, because five and six were relevant for them because they were already having meetings with potential partners. So I'll do the same. So if, let's say, we get this email to go, let's say this week or early next week, and then they say, let's talk, I'll open up all that, the material that's gonna prepare you for this meeting. So yeah, so that's my feedback on your email, Lynn. I like it. I really, really, really do. And then it will be closing basically. As I wouldn't change anything there. Please apply your mind to this idea and your response. Either way, this is powerful. Where you say to people, you know, whether it's a yes or a no, it's okay. It takes away pressure. Because we don't like to say no to people. None of us do. But we have to sometimes, right? If let's say this person is holding the budget and they wouldn't get involved in something like this for whatever reason. Saying no is not a nice thing, you know? So when you give people permission to say no and you're okay with that, as we spoke about it on week one, the whole thing about neediness, when you are comfortable with a no, it removes pressure on the other side. And it also says, this person is not needy. It says, this lady knows what she's doing. If we don't take these ideas and really understand deeper what she's trying to do, another bank may jump into this opportunity. Why is she so confident that, you know, your response either way will be greatly appreciated? What makes her so confident that she's not desperate for our money? Maybe we need to talk to her. So this is brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I don't know how many times I've said brilliant, so I'm not going to say it again, but this is good. Great work, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. See you for your input.
Alrighty. So so what are we going to do now? So I suggested that you look at my JSE email and just work on that intro. You may not remove what you already said about eco, just put another maybe two lines where you just grab them with the idea, where they can imagine if this, that, that, that. So if you could just add that, I'm also going to go back to this email after the session. I'm going to go read it some more and see if there's anything else we can reword or remove. I don't see that there's anything to add really other than that intro. We may just remove, as I, like I said, the paragraph about 1.2 million. But as things stand, I really don't see anything else to add. So please do send me the proposal because in case there's something there we can use, I'd like to discuss that with you. So that's that on your email, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brilliant. So now we move right on, guys, to our second. Like I said, we only got two emails. So I'm going to read the last one. This one is from Hendrina. And I'm going to read this and then we're going to unpack it. So Hendrina, if you can get unmute yourself so that we can chat about your email.
No problem. Afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Afternoon, Hendrina. Right. Hi. Got your email right here. You went straight to the point. So I'm going to read. Let me read your subject line so that it gives context to your email as I read it out to everybody. So you're saying on your subject line, email sample to UNICEF and other potential partners. And then in brackets, you said Department for Women and Children, and then you also said SA Breweries. I assume SAP is SA Breweries, right? Because you wrote SAP. All right, and then social development. So that's what you said on your headline for the email. Okay, so let's read the body of the email. It says, "Dear Sir or Madam, I trust that this email finds you well. It is with great pleasure that I wish to recommend a technological modern solution to the social challenges faced." I assume you wanted to say phased there. You said phased in. Is that phased in? Maybe I'm wrong. It says phased in gender-based violence. It is common cause that the child is the most severely impacted. Whether directly or indirectly, in instances of violence and with the rise of GBV cases, that there is an imminent need to find a more proactive and modern potential solution in order to educate, upskill, and develop our children on the issues surrounding them." This is good. "It is on this premise that I would like to recommend a teaching through gaming initiative. In fulfilling this initiative, the support of a partner is required." Talking about children, I can hear your little
sorry.
Ones,
right? I'm muting myself, but I am definitely listening. I just want to make sure one is not disturbing us.
No problem. We are in their spaces after all. We're working from home, so hey, we gotta live with it, right, guys? So we continue. Okay, let me read that second paragraph again. "It is on this premise that I would like to recommend a teaching through gaming initiative. In fulfilling this initiative, the support of a partner is required. Some of the benefits in partnering in this initiative would be contribution towards educational development in the context of the fourth industrial revolution, preserving the interest of children, addressing national priorities and investing in the development of our children as the future of tomorrow by seeking to include them through age-appropriate education and awareness. Should the proposed solution be of interest to you as key role players at the forefront of protection of children, I would be highly honored to be afforded an opportunity to further engage with you on this matter. Regards, Hendrina." Right, great. So my initial take on this email is that it's a very nice summary of your idea of what you want to go. For me, this email was for me in my reading of it. It's an email for me because it gives me an idea of what you are proposing. But for your corporate partner, I would make some changes to it. Again, let's first go back to the partnership thinking plan and then come back to the email. So partnership thinking plan, the six steps, as we started on the call, we went through the six steps. Number one is the goal. What is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? From your email, I can see what your goal is. You want to get these partners on board to partner with you on this initiative of teaching through gaming to help, you know, children. I want to read your words here. With a proactive and modern potential solution to educate, upskill, and develop them, the children, on issues surrounding them. So you're looking for partners that have got similar interests about the well-being of children and all of that. So that's your goal. Two, resources. What resources do you need to accomplish your goal that a partner can help you with? At this stage, it's not clear. You said support of a partner. It's not clear what that is, but I assume if you did your partnership thinking plan, you probably wrote that down, what you want. You are unmuted. What do you want?
Yes. Andrina? Yeah.
What is the resources for you?
Yes. So for me, it was initially intended just for you and for purposes of this discussion.
Okay.
So that we can gauge. So you're correct. That was the intention. Hence, it's a bit sketchy. But I obviously have something separate, similar to Lynn, but it's obviously not as advanced as Lynn's is, like a brief semi-business plan. But I must openly admit that where the struggle is the monetary aspect of it. It's a bit like obviously quantifying what I will require other than money. There's a list, but in terms of putting money to it, that's a bit something that I'm not too comfortable with. But answering your initial question. So what do I want? I feel, or my view is that this is the premium time to launch this idea. Because of obviously the raise in GBV cases, and the fact that remote learning and more towards a technological view is being promoted, obviously, because of COVID. So a lot of this has been said that alcohol is a key role play, and hence where SAB comes in, because now they have to show, one, that they encourage responsible drinking, and that they seek to have some form of initiative to curb the GBV, to show that there's no direct correlation between alcohol abuse and obviously the violence, or at least try and find some form of a means through that. So hence they are there. With women and children, the basis for that was find some form of practical solutions, because what I found is that the pamphlets, the seminars and talks, but nothing as to how the child acts and reacts to these incidences of GBV. So just now, maybe in terms of a learning perspective, rolling out that, and that's where, sorry, I know I'm saying a whole lot of things, and that's where social development comes in, because they're the custodian of ECD centers. So then you obviously can't, or my view is you can't have a talk with a 5 to 6 year old, but they're more likely to show you what their thinking is and their reaction is if you program a particular game with such, obviously making it age appropriate and not having too many graphic things in place, seeing how they would react to certain situations, and so equip them and develop them to proactively react to such instances. So that's where the thinking comes in for this particular idea.
Thank you. And the game itself, what platform would the game be? How would they engage with it?
So the reason why gaming is specifically there is a potential person that is like a developer that could assist with that. So I haven't put Vodacom there because I know Vodacom, MTN, and Huawei invest quite a bit in schools on that. So then it would be like part and engage maybe your LO teachers, which is your life orientation teachers, to put that in as more of a practical thing. And then, I know, I think I'm losing you.
I'm actually just listening.
Okay.
I get it. I think it makes sense. I think you've answered my question. Because what I wanted to understand was, how will the children engage with the game? It sounds to me, obviously, they will need devices, maybe tablets or laptops or whatever. But clearly, they will need devices for this. But anyway, for now, it actually, what matters is the clarity around the idea. I think you've got this. It doesn't matter what resources they are. When I'm saying it doesn't matter, let me be clear what I mean. What I mean is that even if the requirements are gonna cost 100 million, at this stage, it doesn't matter. We're still gonna go ask for these from a partnership point of view. But let's stick with the latter for now. But thank you, Hendrina. You've given me the full perspective that I was looking for. Okay. So I think you agree with me that the email we just read was more around the idea itself. We still then need to write an email that goes to your potential partners. And my reading of the whole concept, as you've kind of said yourself, it's a multi-stakeholder partnership that's going to be needed here. There's a part where the likes of SAB can come in. I mean, we saw this weekend, I mean, with the first weekend of level two, I mean, I saw on Twitter yesterday all of these accidents, and, you know, we heard about a shack that burnt, I think, in Pretoria, and children were involved. I mean, it's there are all of these things that are happening in our country that really, really put children in unacceptable positions, really, you know. So I can see how this is a multi-stakeholder thing. And I think what I'm gonna say in assisting you, Hendrina, with the email that you're gonna write is basically something that I said off the call. I think that was before you joined us, because we had a chat. Lynn and Salima were here before we started this call. And I said to Salima, when you put these together, you want to look at what your potential partner is already doing. So for instance, with the SAP, since you mentioned them, I would say, look at what they are already doing. What are their initiatives around GPV and children and whatever, so that you could align your idea with that. It gives a very nice context when you reach out to them to say, I know that you guys are doing this, and I know that this is what you said. You quote them, just like what Lynn said when we were unpacking her email, where she's got a quote from the lady from WWF, which she had included already in her proposal, which I asked to see so that maybe we can include the quote in the email itself that we sent her. So do a bit, identify as you have. On week one, we spoke about a list of your potential targets. So whoever is relevant for this idea, do a bit of research on what they are doing in these areas. Social development, for now, they are not that relevant for what we're trying to do, because what we need, because they're not going to give you resources. Maybe they can. I guess my general attitude towards government is that they are difficult to engage. They operate slightly differently to how corporates operate. And if I can get corporates in and get money in and get resources in, then government, they are more the bureaucracy partner. They're still a very important stakeholder, no question about it. But we don't want resources necessarily from them for this, because if we can get the likes of Vodacom, SAB, and all these other big players involved, then, you know, government, we can get a go ahead. They tend to also support things that are already baked, ready made, and where there are corporates involved, because it also makes the department look good. You know, they can take pictures and they can say, this is what we're doing. So in many ways, the government would appreciate this initiative, and it's good that, you know, that we are playing our part to help our government. They are very overwhelmed despite all the challenges and the things we don't like, but the reality is that they are our government, and we can play our part, of course, to support some of, because they do have good ideas. But, you know, execution becomes a whole other thing. And of course, throw in COVID and all these other problems that none of us could have prepared for. So everybody needs a bit of help. So if we can get corporates in, government would appreciate being a partner in this. So for now, I don't want to dictate here, Andrina, this is your initiative. I would suggest that we put them on the back burner. Let's get the corporate, let's get the money guys in. So go do a bit of research on each of the companies we're going to write to.
Sorry, before I lose you. So that's exactly what I was boggling with. And I think to an extent you have answered me now. Because I know also with government, they have lots of stringent processes in terms of even getting funding. So I think you have just cleared that for me. So I don't know what you think of this. Obviously, your corporate being at the forefront of the funding aspect, and then government, and in particular maybe Department of Education and Social Development, being the enabler to pilot whatever I want to say. And then with this obviously in mind, now I don't know what you're thinking is that in piloting it, and send a document if you don't mind that I can send to you for it in line with this email. In piloting it, we use provinces which have been on the at the back. So we don't target your Gautengs and whatnot, because to an extent they're fairly advanced in terms of approaches. And then target like your Eastern Capes and so on, so that they can, for lack of a better word, government can score brownie points that they're actually taking initiatives there and trying to assist with these problems. And corporates can be like, actually, we're trying to do these private-public partnerships, and we're putting the money where our mouths are. I'm not sure what your thinking is on that.
Okay, my thinking around that is, I understand why you think maybe let's, you know, go to the, you know, to the other two provinces, as I'll use that phrase, that are kind of on the back burner. That's an understandable thought. But my suggestion would be, let's reach out to all the provinces. Those that do respond, we go with them first. It's almost, the weird thing about life is that sometimes people who need something the most would be the least to understand that they need the thing. You find that people who don't need it are the ones who would jump through the hoops to get it. Let's use business as an example. You know, people who need the most help in business, they are the least to want to invest their resources in getting that help. Strange, I know, right? If let's say their resources is money, let's say I'm offering a course and it's R1,000 for people to attend. The people who need that course the most, who are struggling businesses, they will be the hardest to convince that they must pay R1,000 to learn that information than somebody who's doing fine, you know, who probably doesn't need that. Because the whole mindset is that people who are doing well, they understand the value of improvement, of continuing to improve, than people who think that in order for their lives to change, somebody else must give them things, must do things for free for them. You know, they've got this whole attitude of, well, the world owes me something. you know, but how does that relate to this? So it's the same thing with, you may find that as much as this idea, let's say, is perfect for the Eastern Cape, the hardest people to connect with, to get on the table to discuss this, you may find that it's the Eastern Cape, right? You think I'm helping the Eastern Cape, but they don't want to be helped. And sorry to the Eastern Cape, I'm not saying they are like that. I'm using them as an example since then the name of the province came up. And you find that the people who are most responsive to this is Gauteng or Western Cape. You're like, but these guys, they are maybe KZN, they are ahead of the others. Why are they the ones who are excited by this? So that's why I'm saying, let them self-select. We'll reach out to all 9 provinces, give them the same information, because at the end of the day, this has to be piloted. Children are children. Children everywhere, you know, in that one child's life, it doesn't matter that they're in Soweto or in Kempton Park or in Limpopo or in Eastern Cape in a rural village or whatever. To them, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that their experience is uniquely to them. So the provinces that want to jump on this, those children will have somebody who's helping them until, of course, others, you know, see. Because if Gauteng jumps on this first, in all probability, other provinces will stand up now, like, oh, Gauteng is doing this because they want to follow Gauteng, right? Than if we start with the Eastern Cape or another province, and then, you know, but anyway, I'm sure you guys get what I'm trying to say before I start tripping over my own words. But so the long and short of it, we will reach out to everybody, give them the same information, see who's interested to partner with us.
Okay.
Two microphones are unmuted. I see Salima's there and Andrina's there. Both, you guys give each other a chance because I want to hear from both of you.
Okay. Salima, may I please go if you don't mind? I'll be short and sweet,
carry
I promise.
On. Carry on.
All right. Okay. As a follow-up to that, yeah, how you unpacked, this is just my view, how you unpacked the idea came more from, actually, this is how you should monetize it. And I think that's why I'm struggling a bit with the socioeconomic type of initiatives that I have in my head. How do I do the helping part whilst also getting value for money, for lack of a better word, for it? So, yeah, how do I cross that bridge?
That's actually a great question. That's actually the answer to that is that it really depends. I think the answer to that will largely depend on you. Of course, we can brainstorm various ways that this can make money, but the long and short of it, it will really come down to you. What do you want to get out of it? From a monetary point of view, how much do you want to get out of it? There are many ways. I'll give one example that just came to mind as you were talking. You've got a friend or somebody who's a developer, for instance. He charges for that service. You could make money there, where, you know, everything else is sponsored and all of that. You don't make any money there because let's say you get tablets from Vodacom, you get whatever from SAB. You could also, if it's money, let's say you get from SAB, there are obviously admin fees or costs. Let's just call them costs. Fees tend to scare people, particularly when it comes to charitable causes. Let's just say costs. So you can then factor in your time, your hours. So you could be part of the cost in terms of your involvement in the project, etc., etc. And then on the development side, when your developer makes a quote, it factors in, you are partners on that. So he gets what he gets. You also get a part of it as a developer partner. You are core developers. Let's just call you that. You guys are core developers. And then you are overseeing the whole project and there are costs related to that. So that's just one, or should I say two areas that I can think of top of mind. Until you and I have really had time to break it down to see what it really, really entails, the whole project, then other opportunities may crop up. For now, those two, I'd say from a developer side, because the service, you know, the cost can be just tied in there. You don't need three codes for that because this is your project. So nobody's going to say, no, these developer fees are too high. It's your project, right? You charge what you charge. It's not like they can take it and give it to somebody else because it's your project. So you can make money there. And then, of course, like I said, on other costs of your involvement, overseeing and managing and putting it together, creating this whole magic. That would be my... Before I go to Salima, does that answer your question at least to some point, Andrina?
Yes, thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, really helped.
All righty. So in conclusion then for you, I would say now that we agree on what on the email you've written so far, my thing would be please write the email now to the potential partner and do a bit of research, which include, so use the examples I gave you on week two, even listen to this recording, the feedback that I was giving to Lynn, which was really not much of a feedback because she scored 100% on that one. Just listen to how she wrote that email and just remember some of the key points that she included in terms of value and benefits and customize them for your stakeholders. Remember, it's not going to be perfect, so no pressure. No, it's not going to be perfect, but it will give us something to build on. So if you could do that and then come back to me, I'll help you with that going forward. So that will be my last point on you, Hendrina, on that one. And then over to you, Salima.
Hi, Sia. I'm so glad I'm here today because it's actually given me a whole perspective of how to do my email. But I actually like a few things that you did say, and especially the example that you gave about people that don't see the value of things that need it the most. I mean, I come from an education background, and I see that all the time where people that really need the help are the ones that say, no, 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 I don't want to spend more money on myself and things like that. And it's only when you actually do that and you see the difference that it makes to your life when you've actually invested in yourself that you actually transcend. And that's one of the reasons why I joined your group. But apart from that, in one of your first, actually there was more than one thing that I benefited. And I must say that it made a huge impact on my life when you said it's okay to say no and to tell them that, you know, it's okay to say no, because it empowers you and it empowers them as well. It empowers you to the fact that you're okay with no. Most of the time I used to get so emotional when somebody said no to me, and I think, what's wrong with me? And, you know, go through all of that whole thing of breaking myself down. And just the fact that you said that, it actually changed the whole way I'm seeing things. So, it's actually... It's actually very empowering being on this course, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I know I haven't done my homework properly yet, but I've realized that the kind of research that I need to be doing, and that comes to my question of when we're doing the project, does it have to be mainly on a social responsibility effort to get that corporate client to be interested in what we want to do? Does it have to be social responsibility?
Brilliant question. The short answer is no. Okay. Not at all. All it needs to have, I would say, it needs to have value that they can recognize. So some of these projects, I hardly ever do corporate responsibility type projects myself. Most of my projects, they are all about, hey guys, this is what I'm doing. This is, if we can partner, this is what you guys can get. I mean, let's look at my JSE partnership, since it's been one of the kind of the main examples I've been using for this. There's no social responsibility there. The JSE had a problem. They wanted to promote Altex, which is one of the smaller kind of stock exchange within the stock exchange, if for the lack of a better description, right? They were struggling to promote that, which was all commercial, right? It was all about because we're struggling to promote this, it means we could be making more money and we're not. So I came to them, I said, I think I've got an idea that can help you promote that better. What was the benefit? The benefit was that if we do that right, they would make money. There's no nonprofit involved in this. There's no, we're not changing the world in any way. We're just going to throw more billions back into the JSE's bank account.
Okay.
So we were, and then of course there were all the other spin-offs, you know, because it involved the book, it was also going to help the CEOs who were going to be featured in the book. You know, their name was going to be out there, you know, they were going to be in the book. I mean, do I need to even say more? Because who doesn't want to be in a book, right? So they were going to be in the book. Another thing is that the book itself, because it was focusing on entrepreneurship, remember, this was not the main goal of the book, but because it was focusing on entrepreneurship, it would help small businesses because they would read the book and they would read about the stories of these successful entrepreneurs. That was a spin-off. It was never, we want to help the country, we want to help entrepreneurs. That was not the goal. But it was a beautiful spin-off that small businesses could buy. They were not going to get the book for free, that they would have to buy the book, read the book, learn from these CEOs who started with, you know, with ideas just like them and build these multi-million rand businesses. Another benefit, just to think of a few, the book itself was one place where there was going to be the story of JSE listed companies, and meaning that the benefit there is that these stories are in a book. People who are trying to sell the South African investment story overseas, they can just buy 500 copies of this book, take them on their roadshow to wherever they want to go to promote South African business and how other countries can invest here. They could just hand out this book so that those countries can read about these success stories of South African entrepreneurs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the JSE and all that stuff, which would also help these companies be able to raise more capital because their story would be told widely globally. So that was one of the benefits of the book. So it was never, it was not a social enterprise or a social development effort at all. So, and I'm glad you asked this question because sometimes, because of the examples, especially today, you may feel, oh, I need to help society. In many ways, just by succeeding in business, we are actually helping society. So absolutely not. So your project can be as capitalist as it gets. and it can be all about money as it gets, as long as the partner sees it the same way you see it and they want to be part of it, they want to put their money where their mouth is or their resources where their mouth is, then everybody's happy.
So we can actually ask for resources for the whole project or just parts of the project and ask other corporates for other parts of the project?
Yes. So the answer is, of course. Ask for everything. Ask for everything. Okay, one of the things I talk about in week five and six, how I answer this question is that rather, even if you don't, you're not necessarily asking for resources, but when you are having a meeting with them, you just tell them what you basically, because now it's about what are we doing? What is this project? This is what we're trying to do. Then it becomes a case of then what does the project need? If the project needs 50 things, you list all 50 things. You say, well, the project needs this and this and this and this and this and that. Even though you know that this particular company may not help with some of the 50 things, then they can just say, well, since we are not Vodacom, we can't give you tablets. Huawei. We can't give you tablets, but we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do. So they can just choose what they, you can even say that. You say, well, the product needs all these things. I'm not sure which of these you guys would like to participate. Simple. Then they can just choose what they want. And then rather than you deciding for them, just show them everything. In week five and week six, I'm saying, ask for the world or nothing. So I'm saying, don't be scared to show them everything you need. The other alternative is, it's like two extremes. Ask for the world, meaning ask for everything, or tell them everything that you need without necessarily saying, I'm asking you guys for this. These are the things that the project need. Then they can select want to participate in. On the other hand, you focus so much on their value. Let's go back to Lynn's example. Look at all the benefits for NetBank, like 8 solid benefits in and counting, because I'm sure there are other benefits that we haven't even thought of. So if we just focused on the benefits for NetBank, let's say Lynn didn't say anything about what Lynn wants. She just focuses on why this would be good for NetBank, to a point where NetBank says, Lynn, we agree with you. We can see how this could help us. What do you want, right? And then Lynn says, well, I actually haven't thought about what I want. Imagine that. And she responds and says, well, I haven't really thought about what I want. Maybe we can brainstorm together what you guys, how you guys would want to get involved. Can you see that this is a non-ask-ask? Like, I'm not asking for anything, but I'm saying, let's put our heads together and see how you guys can get involved to advance the idea. Then it becomes a co-created outcome. They say, well, let's just dream big, right? Let's just say in that meeting, they say, well, Lynn, that's interesting. You know what? We spend $200 million on this, on environmental impact and things like that every year. So maybe we could find maybe 5% of that money, channel that towards this and test this idea, right? What is 5% of 200 million? It's 10 million, right? Yeah. So can you see now, by not asking, let's say for the 1.2 million that we had in the letter, by not asking and putting it in front of them and saying, let us, remember, we're not saying you guys decide. You are saying, let us brainstorm. So it becomes, we co-create this together. Now they say, how about 10 million? You say, okay, 10 million. Yeah, I think that would be a good start, right? Even though you came here looking for 1.2 million, now you don't, remember, we don't get overly excited. We keep our emotions in check. We say, well, 10 million, I think it would be a nice start for sure. Even though you're jumping up and down inside, you're like, what? I was just looking for 1 million. Now you guys are offering me 10, because you don't want to spook them. They think, why is he so excited? So you could ask for the world, meaning you can have a list of all everything, or you could just keep it in your mind and let it be an offer. But if you don't like the offer, let's just be using Lynn's example. Let's say NetBank says, how about we put 500,000 on this? You see now, 500,000 is less than what Lynn wants. Now, because we are brainstorming this, now she comes back saying, I don't think 500,000 will get us very far. Let me tell you why. And then she comes back and says, because we'll need this, we'll need that. Now it's a counter. You're basically countering what they propose. You say, maybe how about we start at 2 million? Do you guys think you could try and put together at least 2 million? You see now, because they went so low, we are brainstorming here. You count up, you come back, and it's a suggestion. It's not, you're not asking. You're just saying, how about if we start maybe at 2 million? Do you guys think you can try and organize that? Simple. And then they say, let's see what we can do. And then the meeting moves forward. Then it becomes a case at the end of, so where to from here? Who's going to do what, and when are we going to reconvene to move the whole thing forward? And then by the next meeting, let's say you agree now that, okay, so you, Veronica, or whoever the person is in the meeting, so you'll try and see where you could find the funds within the business, how you could find the funds, this 2 million that we would like to start with, and then you'll report back during our next meeting, blah, 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 blah. So it becomes one of the things that is agreed on. Does that make sense, guys?
Definitely.
And does it answer your question, most importantly, Salima?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'm excited because it's not just a social, although we are in business to help community at the end of the day, which we do anyway, you have to make the money to be able to do that at the end of the day. And I like how you're saying things like, how about we start with this, or you're also saying hold back your emotions. You know, it's all those little details that we kind of don't know how to handle when we're in those kind of situations that really brings it together. The other thing that's actually been bugging me for a while now is that it's something that you said in the first meeting. He says you said something, I think you said this, was you almost need to entice the partnership to come together with you. You need to not only engage with them, you need to really bring them to understand you and what you want by kind of, what is the right word now, seducing them.
Okay.
That's quite interesting, because how would you do that? Because now, if we have a proposal like all of us have at the moment, and we're going mm-hmm. in there, and they don't know us, and we're trying to build up this rapport, I think that's where I struggle most of the time, where it's building that initial rapport to get that person to trust and like you so that they actually would want to engage with you a bit more.
Brilliant. Another great question. Great. Gee, you're on fire today. These are good. Okay. My short answer, there are many ways to do this, but I'll give maybe one of the ways. And, you know, the question is always, what are people interested in? And rule of thumb about humans is that we are interested in ourselves. Think about it. We are interested in ourselves. So that's why in the email, I talk a lot about context. That's why I talk about doing a bit of research, know what they are doing. Because nothing will grab somebody's attention than somebody talking about what they, meaning the recipient of your email, what they are doing. Because when somebody sees that somebody notices their work, you've got them. You've got them hooked. So it's always the best place, in simple answer, the best place to build rapport with a person is to go to their world rather than trying to convince them to come to your world. They don't know you. So, and when people don't know us, we try to impress them by our credentials, how great we are, you know. It's almost like being at a party and somebody, you meet a person at a networking event, in our younger years, we were on a date, let's just say, and you are with this person, and the whole time they're talking about themselves. That is the quickest way to bore somebody. Is to be all about me. I'm great. Just never works. But you can never bore somebody by being interested in their story. When you lean in, you want to hear about, you know, their story, you know, everything they want to talk about. You're always curious and interested. You've got questions about it. They will talk all night without being bored, right? And then they'll thank you when you guys have to go. They'll be like, oh, this was the best conversation I've had. And you're thinking, but you were the only one talking. And you were talking about yourself, right? But I think that's an extreme example. But that's the point. That's why it's so important to not write impersonal emails to companies where you just send them a very bland, broad email that feels like it's been sent to 100 other companies. So be specific. And I've used this so many times. People always say to me, how do you get these big CEOs to respond to your emails, to want to talk to you, to take your calls? It's because I always start by talking about things that are important to them. When I wanted to meet Raymond Ackerman, I wrote to him about the work he was doing at the UCT Graduate School of Business, where he started the School of Entrepreneurship. I mean, this is a billionaire. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me, but I complimented him. Part of why that's important is because nobody else compliments him. Because think about it. Somebody who's a big shot, who's a big boss in this multi-billionaire company, everybody's scared of him in the company. I'll use, maybe that's an extreme, but for the most part, he's respected and everybody reveres him, right? And then nobody knocks at his door and says, Mr. Chairman, you are doing a great job. Let me give you a pat on the back. Nobody does that. So when he gets an email from some stranger, and the stranger is saying, Mr. Ackerman, you are changing this country through this work that you're doing. You're putting all these millions in changing the lives of the kids. This is wonderful work. Right? Now he's like, who's this guy? Does that make sense?
Definitely.
You know, yes, so, definitely. But it's always really going where they go to their world. You move from 2 minutes ago, they don't know who you are. 2 minutes after they opened your email, they like you. You're like, you know, because of how you started. I hope that helps.
Definitely. Yes. Definitely. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Salima.
Yeah.
All righty. Any other questions, guys? Especially considering that this is not a Q&A call, remember? any other? But I loved all the questions, by the way. So don't let that, that mustn't put you off in any way. Love these because they are relevant. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Hi, Christine.
Hey, Lynn.
Do you think they are, can you think of any other companies that may be open to a program such as the one I did for Nedbank?
Yes, I can. And I will. One of them is, one of them is BP.
PP.
BP.
Oh, BP, the oil guys.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And others. And others. I'll think of a couple and then and then we'll talk about them.
Okay, great.
Awesome. And before we close, guys, I just want to introduce you to Christina. We've had this small group and you probably, you haven't seen that name. That's Christina. She's just joining our group. She joined, I had a chat with her last week. And then on Friday, we confirmed that she'd be joining our group. So she spent the whole weekend going through week one and week two, because I had to catch her up so fast that by today, she's kind of up to speed with us. So hey, Christina, welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be part of this group now.
Hi, Christina.
Most welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Maybe, Christina, tell us a bit about yourself, your business, just to complete the intro.
Okay, cool. I can do that. So I have two businesses. The one business I have is around marketing events and exhibitions. Oh, both my businesses are for profit. So that's
lovely.
So when you were talking earlier on social projects and for profit, so mine are for profit. So when my emails go out and when I send through the examples, it's really for businesses to engage with my companies on an ongoing basis in order to have sustainable business opportunities, relationships, and revenue. So the one business I have, yes, like I told you, is marketing. And the marketing is broken up into sales and marketing coaching, social media services, and offering sales and marketing consultancy. And the events and exhibitions is really a full spectrum of event management and project management, mainly in the food, wine, art, beauty, and property sectors. So that's the expertise for large-scale events and boutique events. The second business I opened during COVID, and it's a concierge service, which is offering people and businesses various services to assist them with their busy lives and stressful lives. And that includes services like shopping and deliveries, shopping for groceries or clothing, stationery, collecting items, running errands, and providing virtual assistant services, etc. So yeah, that's in a nutshell.
Cool. Anyway, guys, I'm not going to make this long. I'm not going to ask us to do our own intros. We've already done that, but there will be an opportunity for this, because as we go through these letters, we will actually get to know who does what. So for that reason, I don't want this recording to be too long, because I still want you guys to listen to this over and over. And when these things are too long, sometimes they can put you off, like, oh, do I have to listen to 2 hours? So I'm not going to do that now. But now we know Christina. There is someone else who's going to be joining us this week as well. Her name is, let me not say her name, just in case she doesn't join. But we've also spoke and we agreed, I think, on Friday that she'll be joining us. So let's watch the space for Thursday when we have our Q&A. Maybe she'll be part of this group. She would have caught up as well by that time anyway, because she's already started catching up. So that's that, guys. I think I'm going to leave it here for today. This is week 3. I hope you guys got a lot of value from this session. I'm going to leave it here, guys, unless there's a question. Otherwise, I'd like us to wrap it up and close it.
Sorry, before we go.
All righty.
Hi. On Thursday, what is it that our Q&A is going to be about? Also, our emails that we're working on?
Good question. So the Q&A will be any questions that you guys send me, as we've been doing these past 2 weeks. So let's say somebody listens to this. I'm going to try and get this up tomorrow. I'm really, really going to try. Let's just say somebody listens. Let's say someone who's here or someone who's not here. They listen to this and they've got a question. Then they send it through to me. Then I'll deal with it on Thursday.
Okay.
Or somebody, or some of us who are already here, something pops up after the session, you're like, there's a question I really forgot to ask there. You put it on email, you send it to me. So I'll deal with it the same way we deal with our Q&As every Thursday. And then those people who haven't submitted their emails, I will be kind, because I think it's for the benefit of everyone if we really unpack these, to, if we've got time, let's say I've got a few questions and we still have a bit of time, then I'll go back to these emails and then I'll unpack them the way we did here today.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you.
Sia, by when would you like the questions and the emails to review?
The emails, I wanted the emails today before this session. In terms of the questions, every week, I always wish people would sign them a bit early, but anytime before the session, maybe latest an hour before the session, at least it gives me time to have a scan through the questions before I come on the session. But, you know, I'm always ready to answer these questions. I'm always prepared. So for the short answer and the best answer, Christina, is the sooner the better. It really does help me to prepare.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, my question, sorry, quickly. Every Monday, you usually send us a workbook and all the rest of it. Is that still coming?
For this week?
Yeah.
For this week, the workbook is actually the emails that we are working on. So there'll be no workbook for this week. Great, great question.
Great stuff. Thank you.
All righty. Okay, guys. Closing it right here. And thank you so much for your time and for your participation today. Really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Bye, take care.
Bye,
bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers, bye.